What do you want for Christmas? I wonder if you know. This has been said in our house for the past couple of weeks now. Guys, please could you just tell me what you want? Because family keep ringing up and I just don't know what to say to them. That's been Jane saying to Caleb and I, come on, help me. But I don't know. I don't know what I want. So the problem with that is Jane keeps then suggesting things. Slippers. But why is it always slippers? Every year for 27 years, I get asked if I want slippers. I hate slippers. I owned a pair of slippers once. Okay? They came in really handy. I was 6 years of age. I just watched an episode of Thunderbirds, you know, the Puppets International Rescue. It was a terrifying episode. There were these huge big crocodiles and alligators. And for 6 months after watching that, I didn't go to bed without wearing my slippers. They came in crucial because every night as I dreamt that the crocodiles were coming in the end of my bed, the slippers protected my toes from getting bitten off. So now that I have grown out of that phobia, I don't need slippers, okay? Well, what about you? Have you made your list? Perhaps it's been up on Amazon, I don't know, since June, your wish list. This morning, though, I want to suggest that every single one of us makes a list right here and now. But it's perhaps a different type of Christmas list than you've been thinking of. You see, this is a spiritual Christmas wish list. Now, if you're struggling and wondering what on earth I'm on about, I've got one here. Here's one I've prepared earlier for you, okay? So you might like to use it. I'm convinced, actually, if you use this list, it'll definitely brighten up and bless your Christmas. There's only two wishes on it. It's very, very simple. It goes very well with our church mission statement, to know Christ better and make him better known. So this is it. This is what I suggest to every single one of us to put on our spiritual wish list this Christmas. Firstly, seeing and delighting in Jesus our Savior more this Christmas. Okay? Then secondly, sharing this Savior more with others this Christmas. So very simply, I'm saying it would be great for every single one of us to have on our spiritual wish list a greater desire to really get to grips with who Jesus really is, what he's done this Christmas. And secondly, just to tell others who don't know him how awesome he is. But I know it's a big challenge because it really is the crazy time of year. And we're going to need to plan right now. Because failing to prepare spiritually is preparing to fail spiritually this Christmas. Now, as Martin said, we're having a break from our usual series. We've been doing Genesis to Revelation, God's big story. But because of all these incredible services coming up, and that's the Christmas ones, we've got five of them. But tonight, we do have another wonderful opportunity as well. Please, I'd love you to come along. Just as I'm looking out, I can see a whole load of you. I don't think you've had the privilege of joining us for an evening service. Tonight, we've got a baptism service. They're the best services at the Slade. Three of our friends, they're going to share what God has done in their life, and then they're going to go through the waters of baptism, be completely submerged. So please come. You'll really find it encouraging. I can promise you that. And if you can be praying throughout the day for Casey, Amy, and George. And we've got these 5,000 leaflets to give out. Gary and Caroline are featured in it. And a couple of years ago, Caroline got one of these through her door. And what a difference it made in her life. So much so that she's even featured and she's going to share her whole story in the Carols by Candlelight service. But we need to get ready for this. So Sunday evenings, what we're doing is we're going to bring our Sunday evening series just for this morning to our morning. service, because we're at the end of the series. And what we've been looking at is, how as God's people, how can we shine brightly for Jesus Christ on all of our front lines? And by our front lines, I mean not where I live, but where you live. It's different for every single one of us. Where you work, where you go each day. How can you make a stand for Jesus Christ? We've looked at this series so far that the best way to shine was first of all through godly character, then through the good work that we do, then being loving, then shaping culture. Then we saw last week speaking up where necessary for truth and justice. Now today, it's all about going and sharing the good news. So we're going to watch the DVD in a moment. It's just under 10 minutes. In the evenings, we have a time of discussion. That's not going to happen this morning. It won't be appropriate. So we'll just watch the DVD, and then I'll preach a shorter message after it. But the episode today, it's all about being a messenger of Jesus, like I just said. And to enjoy Christmas most this year, can I suggest that you get involved in praying and inviting and speaking to people about the greatest person in the world, Jesus, the Savior of the world? I mean, it is what Christmas is all about. Casey, who's one of those getting baptized this week, she texted and she said she's having so many opportunities in the run-up to her baptism to speak about Jesus. Do you think that was a text complaining? Oh, you know, everyone keeps asking me about Jesus. I'm getting tired of it. No, she was excited. So why not get in on the act? Especially as it is the season of goodwill. Now I know, maybe you are one of the few, and I know that there are some out there, and they really hate this time of year. They're a bit like Scrooge, they're a bit grumpy. But I'd suggest that the majority of people, even though it's very busy, the majority of people love it. And down in London, it's one of those strange times. I find Christmas is a little bit like the Olympics. For the first time in years, people actually smiled and spoke to one another. It was like a miracle. I don't know what happened down here. And Christmas is a little bit like that. People are perhaps a little bit more friendly, and there is this goodwill that goes around. And people will come to church more at Christmas. That they will. The statistics show that. People are more open to hear about what the season is really all about from those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus. So let's watch this DVD clip, and then I'll share a little bit more from the passage that Martin read to us. Thanks, guys. The truth in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That in a nutshell is the message we have to share this and every single Christmas. And in a world of horribly depressing news, this is the best news you and I could ever share with anyone. I don't know if you saw the headlines on one of the main New York newspapers on Thursday, I think it was, after another mass shooting. It was the other side, though, of the states in California. And yet some of the politicians had spoke up again, and they'd said, our prayers go out to the families who've lost loved ones. And that there was a real anger at this by some of the journalists. And so their very simple, huge headline ran on the front of their newspaper, God's not fixing this. But we believe he is. We believe he still is today. That's what Christmas is all about. God came and stepped into the world in the form of a baby, his son, Jesus Christ, to fix this mess. So many of us here today, we're stories of what? We're stories that God has fixed us. And wonderfully, he's going on fixing the mess that we've made of our own lives. You see, Christmas and its message offers the only alternative to this broken world of madness, sin, pain, and shame. And for us as God's family, having the best Christmas possible is not just having a big celebration all to ourselves and just, oh, let's just sing God's praises just with our family. It's telling as many as we can. But that's going to involve intentionally planning to enjoy more of Jesus, to get to grips more of what the Christmas message is about, and then to go and tell it. Why? Why do we want to tell it? Why do we want to share? Why do we want people to come to carol services? Oh, so it looks great, so all the seats are filled. And no, so that they also can taste and see, like us, that the Lord is good. Oh, he's so very good. But as I've said, this won't just happen. We need to get prepared. And I want us to do that this morning just briefly by looking at this obscure passage, perhaps, at the end of Luke chapter 2, and just see what happened here. It's not your usual Christmas passage with the wise men, the shepherds, and so on. It's a lovely little one tucked away that you may not be familiar with. And we meet these two fantastic characters, Simeon and Anna. If you've got your Bibles, please look at Luke 2, verse 25. And we see here Jesus, he's just a tiny little baby. He's being presented there in the temple to the Lord publicly. It's a little like our dedication Thanksgiving services we have of babies. But this for the Jews, wow, this was of such significance. This was their firstborn son. And Mary and Joseph, they meet Simeon and later Anna. Now who are these characters? That they're both part of a faithful Jewish remnant who sincerely love and follow God. Now, while most of God's people, tragically, that they've turned their backs on God, and they're just looking around saying, well, look, what, where's God? I mean, the Romans are in charge. We're held in occupation in our own land. They have not abandoned hope. Simeon believes in the great messianic hope, longing eagerly to even see it with his own eyes. Verse 25 shares and speaks about it. It's described as waiting for the consolation of Israel. What on earth is that? That's to be consoled. To be consoled with knowing and believing that God has sent at last, who he's promised for centuries and centuries, the Messiah, the Savior of his people. In fact, the Savior of the whole world. And Simeon's been praying prayers like this. Lord, could I just see this Savior? Oh, that's what I would love to witness. Could I be privileged to actually, face to face, fix my eyes on this Savior you're sending? This is what I want most, Lord, in life. And then he goes on and he prays, I'm ready to die, Lord. You can take me. And you imagine the thrill as Simeon, that the Holy Spirit has shown him clearly that this little baby, this tiny little baby called Jesus that he's holding in his hands, is the consolation of Israel, is the Messiah, is the chosen one, is the one who's going to redeem and rescue his people. And in verses 29 to 32, Simeon begins, Sovereign Lord, and it's a hymn of praise. He sings a song of praise and he goes on to prophesy some truths about Jesus' life and ministry. Tough, tough words of what will happen to him. And then we meet Anna there in verse 36. Her name wonderfully means what? Her name means grace. What a great, great name. Grace. Getting good things that you and I don't deserve. God's riches at Christ's expense. She was a godly widow of great age. In fact, Luke has got 43, interestingly, references to women in his gospel. He's got a quarter of the whole Bible's widows in his own book. It's easy to see the heart of Dr. Luke, the writer, as he speaks so warmly of women. But widows didn't have it easy in those days. Often they were neglected. Often they were exploited. In spite of God's clear commands to protect them, Anna devoted herself to serving God by worship. And look at God's timing, how perfect his timing is. Just even in the DVD where we heard the story of those two women and how God planned for them to meet there in the car park. And how God plans for Anna just to come in, just to be there in the temple when Simeon's holding the baby Jesus and singing. Verse 38, I don't know about you, but I think it indicates that she also joined in singing and thanking God. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been a great godly duet to hear. And their praise, well, where did their praise come from? Their praise just came straight from the overflow of their hearts. This is what they were longing for. But then look at the end of verse 38. Anna did much more than sing. She also went and she spread the good news among all the other faithful people who were waiting, believing, trusting in, longing for the rescue of God's people through the Messiah being sent. And so the excitement begins. The news that Jesus is here. And this today, 2,000 years on, wonderfully, it's still our privilege, friends. And I hope you are thrilled. Especially at this time of year. Because don't we want others to know in this world of bad news, in this world of shocking, disturbing, it always just seems to keep getting worse news, that there is hope in a dark place. Maybe it's the hope you need to hear this morning. Maybe you're not yet a Christian and you're just, it's a bit perplexing to you because you're thinking, well, I don't have this hope. You could have this hope if you know Jesus like so many of us. There is a Savior who's rescued so many of us. He's a Savior who can rescue you. He's a Savior who can rescue others, who you work with, who you live with, who are in your street. I don't know about you, but I want others to know Jesus like I know Jesus. But we need to make sure that we do know what we should know. I think so often it's a given. Oh, well, we come to church, we stand and we sing God's praises. Well, of course, we know he's the Savior, the light of the world. Do we really know? And I mean, do we really know deep down in our hearts? Because as we've said, this is the crazy, silly, busy season. And especially for those of us involved in church, there's a ton more stuff as well. Apart from everything else that's going on at work and in our family with different things planned, there's a stack of stuff at church. And if we're not careful, it'll come and go. And I know some of you, the jobs that you've got, some of you, the homes that you're from, it's challenging. And yet I'd long for you with me just to take some time and stop and reflect on what it really does mean. That you'd get to grips more with what the words that we get bandied around at Christmas, like Emmanuel, actually mean and the implications for us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what happened. God came in the form of his baby son to a broken world to not only bring hope, but to be the great hope, the only hope for all the world. To bring peace, the only peace that will not only last in this world, but the world to come. To not only bring joy, but the only joy that can satisfy. You know, your work colleagues, they'll be chatting, sharing about a whole load of stuff they've done at the weekend. They'll get so excited about what they saw on the telly or what happened at some sports ground they went to. And it'll seem as though they're filled with joy. It's not real, deep down, lasting joy. It's just momentary. It's just passing. They'll be in despair the next week when the team that won yesterday loses next week. We want the joy that the wise men discovered. Remember how it describes it when they go and they actually find him there in the stable? It says they were overjoyed. They were exploding with joy. Because this love is greater than any human love that anyone can know. You see, this is divine love. This is heaven-sent love. This is a love that is unconditional. It's a love that's unstoppable. It's a love that's unparalleled. It's a love that's almost unbelievable. It's so amazing. So why not read passages like this? Well, why not read them again and again? Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, John chapter 1. Why don't you read the prophecies in the Old Testament? Well, why don't you get perhaps one name of Jesus or one theme of Christmas over the next, it's about 19 days, is it, till Christmas Day? And why don't you just meditate, reflect on it? A couple of days ago, for me, it was Emmanuel. Just to try and really warm, stir my heart. You could use a list like this. Emmanuel, Incarnation, Savior, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Light of the World, Hope, Peace, Joy, Love, Indescribable Gift. What about your home? Is it going to be a greater place of talking, thinking of Jesus and reflecting on what he's done for us this Christmas? What about the words of the carols we've already sung? Joy to the World, we sang one last week. Are they going to stir our hearts? Or is it, it's that one again that goes on forever? Or are you going to think about the words? So just reflecting on the words of Little Town of Bethlehem yesterday, ones that the Queen quoted from, the best part of it as well in a speech a couple of years ago. You see, only then will we be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But we need to be reminded of these truths, don't we? Because these truths are like tools that will equip us and will do a much better job. So do you feel them? Maybe as we approach Christmas, maybe it's a massive, challenging question for you, because maybe perhaps you thought you're a Christian, and yet as you hear me saying, do you feel these truths deep down about the wonder and the love and the amazement of Jesus? You're thinking, oh, hang on, that's just something that I've never experienced. He's getting a bit excited, isn't he? Why? Because these are truths to get excited about. Because it's the truth that God took your mess and instead gave you mercy. He took your sin and he gave you his son. He died for you, and you don't have to do anything to deserve his love. He forgave all your rebellion, and he goes on forgiving all your rebellion. He's guaranteed you a place in his home heaven. He's with you now and forever. He's given you his Holy Spirit. He listens to you. He leads you. He speaks to you daily through his word. He's the best friend you can ever have. He's always for you. He is never, never, never against you. He really is worth sharing. And what a great reminder as we share about Jesus and invite people to these special services coming up of what Mark Green said. Do you remember what he said at the beginning of the video? Three little things. God loves to save people. But it's God that does the saving. But wonderfully, he actually invites you and me to help him. And in God using us, he wants us prepared, but he wants it spontaneous. So yes, we prepare and we're intentional, but we want it to be natural, not contrived. Just like Mark was saying on the DVD there, we want to look for just warm opportunities. Pray for them. We don't get all worked up and, oh, right, I've got to speak to three people today. And so you're like, oh, I haven't spoken to anyone. So it's 10 o'clock at night. You rush out to the park and you bump into a lady walking a dog. And you're like, oh, excuse me, madam. You know, did you know dog spelled backwards is God? And, can I tell you about God? In fact, why not come along to our carol services? No, we want it to come naturally. You know, just pray. When you get up tomorrow morning, Lord, would you just help me to chat about what I was doing yesterday? You know, my mates, my work colleagues, they're telling me all about what they got up to. Can you just get me to speak about you and what you've done for me? Are you looking to share the love you have of Jesus with others? And what about this little pattern? Mark mentioned some of these things on the DVD. Pray specifically for someone. I mean, right now, just try and think of one, two, three people. Think who, and pray about them, and pray about them. You might be really surprised. wow, oh yeah, I didn't think, yeah, of course, yeah, they live near me and I see them regularly. And ask God to help you pray for them and love them so deeply that you want to share Jesus with them. Can I just say that again? Ask God as you pray for them to help you love them so deeply that you'll want to share Jesus with them. I mean, why not? Why not tell them about the best news in the world? And secondly, move on from praying for them, care for them. How can you improve your relationship with them? I was hearing about one person who invited a friend of hers to come to church, and a friend said, oh, okay, well, I'll come to church if you join me with my recent hobby. And a friend said, oh, okay, what's that? I'm learning to skydive. Wow. True story. A couple of months on, the Christian friend, £700 less off, she has done her first skydive. And a friend did go to church with her. Wow. What lengths are we prepared to go to? Maybe you think that's a little bit extreme. But our care for people that we're praying for, it's got to go to a place where the other person feels safe around us. We have to have a hospitable heart. You may not be able to have a hospitable home because of other people who live there, or because you're living on your own and it's a real estate and it's probably not a good idea to invite them round. Maybe it's better to invite them to a coffee shop. But being hospitable doesn't just mean having people around your house. It's that openness of heart. Remember Anita in the DVD? She was just wandering around work, smiling. I mean, are you known for that? Or are people like, oh no, put their head down when you're coming because you're going to moan about something else? We had a guy who became a Christian at our last church, and I've shared this before. And for weeks and weeks, our church building was situated right near some shops. And for weeks and weeks, he wanted to come in, but he was too nervous. But he just noticed, he observed everyone leaving. And he came in because he said, everyone just looked so happy. The other minister I worked with, he was so rude. He said, oh yeah, they were so happy because they were the Sundays Wes was preaching. But let's be warm. We've got the greatest thing to share, haven't we? Then thirdly, sharing the truth. And that may come in a whole variety of ways. You may get the opportunity to literally open a Bible and speak about some of these verses, the Christmas story with someone. Or it may be about Syria. It may be about other current affairs. That there's a very clear opportunity. You may get asked, well, what do you think as a Christian about such and such? Just listening to people as well will give you an opportunity to talk back to them. Because being heard, it's so close to being loved. Do you know that? Being heard is so close to being loved. Give others our trust. If you want their trust, give them your trust. But be vulnerable. Talk about some of the difficulties, dilemmas in your own life. Don't just go around, you know, behaving as though, oh, I'm a Christian and I've got everything sorted. Just come to me and I can be your big agony aunt and I'll tell you all that you need to hear. No, just share when things you're unhappy with as well. You see, people are longing very often just for everyday things or sometimes big things. They're longing for advice. Are you there, willing, ready to share? Speak advice and wisdom to them? Tell your story about the way Jesus has made and continues to make a difference to you. Tell them that he's the reason that you live. So what has the Lord done for you recently? What's he really helped you with? Share that. And learn to talk about Jesus, you know, without all the jargon, without all the Christian Bible speak. I've already heard the three stories, the three testimonies of the guys that are getting baptized tonight. I make them do a bit of a trial run in front of me and one another because it's a nerve-wracking thing that they'll do tonight, standing in front of everyone. Wow, their stories are great. They really are. and they've cleaned all the jargon out so that we can all understand. But their stories from their hearts, they're all so different, they're wonderful. I think it'd be a great idea if we all have our story written down. I mean, maybe go home today, this week, and think, well, yeah, hang on. What is my story? How do I know that Jesus is my Savior, that he's forgiven me? Well, write it out and sort of learn it so that you can share it if someone ever asks you in a few minutes. Then finally, have a plan with someone that you've been praying about, that you've been caring for, that you've been listening to, speaking to. Have a plan for if they do want to take things further. I mean, let's say someone comes with you tonight to the baptism service. Let's say someone comes to one of the carol service and they're like, oh, I'm really interested. I'd like to know more. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Oh, well, maybe let's start meeting up, shall we? Let's go to a coffee shop once a week and let's work through Mark's gospel. Or why don't you join? We have a course at our church regularly, Christianity Explored. Whatever, we all need to be ready, don't we? We're getting bombarded, aren't we? We already have for a good few weeks with tons of Christmas advertising. And who's inviting us on this advert? Who's inviting us to share a little happiness? Oh, advertising's not working on you, obviously. Who's inviting us to spread and to share a little happiness? Coca-Cola. Okay. You're not watching the ads. You just turn the sound off, do you? Well, with all due respect, Coca-Cola they're probably sharing a whole lot of tooth decay. I don't know about what else, but we're the ones. We're the ones who know and love Jesus, who can really share, and not just a little happiness, we can share a whole load of happiness. Because in Christ alone, our hope is found. Let's close our service by singing that wonderful song to God's praise about where all our hope, where all our confidence, where all our trust comes from. It comes from no one but Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.